Blog Talk Radio.
You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Good evening, good evening. Hello, everyone. Hello. How are you? How are you? Welcome to Straight to the Point, No Pause. All right? So, again, good evening. I hope everyone is having a great evening. It is Happy New Year. I didn't think I was going to come back over here, but I wanted to come back over because I want to share some things with you guys.
Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused.
Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back. We are back here on Straight to the Point, No Pause. I am your host, Lita. This is on the YCC MW 2020. The weather is going crazy out there. It's snowing in Georgia. I have two sisters, and I have a nephew and a niece. I have two nieces and a nephew that live in Georgia. And I got three sisters. Oh, I forgot about my other sister moved back. I got three sisters, my mom, and two nieces and a nephew who live in Georgia. And my sister has been keeping me up, up to date on what's going on there, that it is actually snowing there. That tomorrow my four people, including Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker, were initially taken hostage. One hostage, a man, who was released on home around 5 p.m., Colleyville Police Sergeant Dara Nelson said. Citron Walker said the gunman became increasingly belligerent and threatening in the last hour of their hostage crisis. In a statement, Citron Walker described the ordeal as a traumatic experience. He said he and the other hostages are alive today due to the multiple security courses his congregation has taken over the years. Without the instructions we received, we would have been prepared to act and flee when the situation presented itself. Citron Walker said, I encourage all Jewish congregation, religious groups, schools, and others to participate in active shooter and security courses. Now, let me say this. They're vetting prior to the arrival, which would have been checked against classified and unclassified information available at the time. Akron was not on a U.S. government watch list, law enforcement source said. Okay. A review conducted thus far of U.S. intelligence community databases containing terror-related threat information showed no prior derogatory information on ACLM, according to the official. British intelligence officials have advised their U.S. counterparts that a preliminary view of their database similarly show no derogatory information about ACLM. The source said UK authorities are continuing to scrub their systems. Okay, UK counterterrorism police for Greater Manchester announced on Sunday the detention of two teenagers in connection with the hostage incident. Both individuals who were arrested in South Manchester are still in custody for questioning. Authorities are still trying to figure out how ACLM traveled to Texas. Okay. Florida was the other state. I think I did. I can't remember. Okay, anyway. It says two tornadoes struck southwest Florida Sunday morning, destroying at least 28 homes and damaging others in Lee County while leaving about 7,000 houses there without power. At least 62 homes are currently unlivable, says Cecil Pendergrass, co-chairman of the county's board of commissions. Okay. Of commissions at the news conference. Interesting. The twister was a EF2 tornado with maximum winds of 118 miles per hour. It may have completely destroyed 30 mobile homes of the 108 mobile homes damaged near Fort Myers, according to a damage survey by the National Weather Service. Okay, four injuries was reported, but no one's taken to the hospital. In Charlotte County, north of Fort Myers, an EF1 tornado, Coweta, Fayette, Clayton, Spalding, Henry, Troop, Meriwether, and Pike counties have been added. Some parts of the viewing area could see measurable snow between 2 and 5 inches. A flash event of mixed precipitation changed to snow hit the Atlanta area around 10 a.m. A second band made its way toward downtown early afternoon. Precipitation types may not be constant throughout. As the coldest air comes in between the system, many more areas will change over to snow throughout Sunday afternoon, which my sister sent me some pictures to show me that. Let's see here. It says the wind gusts are causing power outages and road closures throughout the metro area on Sunday morning. Wind began to recede by about 10 a.m. on Sunday. By late morning, the strongest winds were in the northeast of the state.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio, take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay! Read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay. It's Surgeon General Vivek, despite its rapid spread, Omicron in the States. Okay. What does that mean? It hasn't peaked. It says, in reporting a drop in daily cases, Hochul sees reason for optimism. Okay. Even as New York State prepared for significant snowfall, Sunday Governor Kathy Hochul, told New Yorkers that the state's coronavirus forecast was improving. The COVID clouds are parting, Ms. Hochul says. For the past week, New Yorkers have watched with tentative optimism as the skyrocketing rate of new coronavirus cases began to slow, then fall. To the hospitals for COVID is slowing. Hospitals remain under tremendous strain, struggling to manage staffing shortages that leave doctors and nurses no choice but to make difficult decisions about who care to prioritize. Although scientists believe Omicron is less virulent than previous variants, the sheer number of cases have created a tsunami of patients seeking care. Cases remain extremely high in New York and elsewhere, and in the New York and United States, an averaging staggering of 105,000 daily cases. About half of all patients in hospitals across the city have COVID. On Thursday, nurses working at overwhelmed city hospitals held a news conference and issued a plea for help. They shared stories of emergency rooms overrun and patients lying on stretchers in the hallways as they wait for care. Stories that could have been from earliest days of the coronavirus pandemic. Spreading the virus to others is greater during the initial days, according to a Times of India report. How can we treat the disease? According to a Money Control report. According to a Money Control report, the treatment options in use for COVID-19 at medical facilities include oxygen, cortisone steroids, and IL-6 receptor blockers for severely ill patients. Treatment for people with severe respiratory illness includes advanced respiratory support, such as the use of ventilators. Several other treatment options for COVID-19 are currently in clinical. What are they supposed to be doing? Okay, let's look and see what they're supposed to be doing. Okay, so let's talk about World Health Organization. Okay. Golly, it's a lot. They're talking about their work, their funding, who governs them. I'm thinking when you say about, just basically, I guess talk about their work. Let's see what is this about. Because I know a lot of people don't know. Yeah, a lot of people do know. You can go to it and talk and see what's going on. You can read about what we do.
All right. I don't know what happened. My other phone went. It's not dead. It's got plenty of time on it. Hold up here, you guys. Let's see. Hold up. Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking at something that came through on the other phone. Okay, here we go. All right. So I was looking at the, we were looking at the World Health Organization, and I was just trying to look at some stuff that was interesting. And it was like, I found this stuff before, but I didn't know how to kind of look at it. It came up on something else I was researching, you guys. That's what it was, basically. I was researching something else. And I saw something else. And that's how I found
the information out. This whole interesting thing. I wound up on some data I was looking at, and I can't remember what data it was. That I was looking at, but it was interesting about the vaccines. And I thought that I could find it. Now, this is here. Let's talk about this since I can't find what I really, really want right now. I can continue going on. The true death toll of COVID-19. It says estimating global excess mortality. It says on January 30 for 2020, it was declared a public health emergency of international, talking about COVID-19, concerned with official death toll of 171. By December 31st, this figure stood at 1,800,188, yet preliminary estimates suggest the total number of global deaths attributed to the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020 was at least 3 million, representing 1.2 million more deaths than officially reported. With the latest COVID deaths reported to WHO now exceeding 3.3 million based on the excess mortality estimates produced for 2020, we are likely facing a significant undercount of total deaths directly and indirectly attributed to COVID-19. So they're already saying that that was back in 2020, that the death toll numbers are not adding up. And again, I'm telling you about this book I'm reading, which is called, let me make sure I got it up, that's talking about the death toll in this book, The Real Anthony Fauci. Now, if COVID-19 deaths are a key indicator of a track evaluation, evolution of the pandemic. However, many countries still lack functioning civilization, registration, and vital statistics systems with the capacity to provide accurate, complete, and timely data on births, deaths, and causes of death. A recent assessment of health information systems capacity is 133 countries found that the percentage of registered deaths ranged from 98% of the European region to only 10% of the African region. Countries also use different processes for COVID-19 deaths, making comparisons difficult. To overcome these challenges, many countries have turned to excess mortality as more accurate measure of the true impact of the pandemic. Excess mortality is defined as the difference in the total number of deaths in a crisis compared to those expected under normal conditions. COVID-19 excess mortality accounts for both the total number of deaths and directly attributed to the virus, as well as the indirect impact, such as disruption of essential health services or travel disruption. So they added something in there. Okay. How excess mortality estimates calculated and what are the main findings? For countries with limited capacity to conduct real-time comparative analysis of observed and expected deaths, health estimates are an important infilling mechanism. They can be calculated using a variety of statistical methods, from a minimalist approach to expert in statistical data synthesis. Regardless of the method, WHO estimates are always conducted in accordance with its constitution and data principles, and in close consultation with member states, other UN agencies, and expert advisory groups to ensure a transparent and consensual process. In collaboration with the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs, UNDESA, and in accordance with the WHO regulations for scientific and advisory groups, WHO convened a technical advisory group on COVID-19 mortality assessment to develop harmonized methods for excess mortality and help determine the total number of direct and indirect deaths attributable to COVID-19. The COVID tag is comprised of leading demographics, demographers, epidemiologists,
epidemiologists, data, and social scientists and statisticians from a range of backgrounds and geographies. The COVID tag considered several statistical models, and after assessing performance, interpretability, and extensibility, posed a negative binomial regression model. The model predicts the number of total deaths for the year 2020 conditional on the population size and expected deaths for the year, as well as predicted mortality rate parameter. This rate parameter captures both the direct and indirect impacts of COVID-19 and is modeled using country-specific variables. Okay, so you guys understand what is being said? Tell me if you understand, because I am lost, okay? For 2020, excess mortality attributable to COVID-19 is defined as the difference between the total observed death for the year and those expected in the absence of COVID-19. The measure cannot be determined for all countries due to data gaps within some countries. So, again, I'm just saying, how can you determine? You said in one sentence that you had a measurable process in place, but then you turn around and say some countries you can't. So the death tolls might be really, really off according to what you said, who? I'm just trying to understand, okay? It says this, and this is for 2020. This is not even for our information that now, because we're already in 2022. We're not even talking about 2021. This is in 2022. So when did they updated this information? Well, we'll find out. It says at the regional level, COVID-19 excess mortality estimates range from 1.3 to 1.46 million in the region of the Americas to 1.11 to 1.21 million in the European region in 2020. This represents about 60 and 50% more than reported COVID-19 deaths, respectively. The challenges of data gap. Significant data gap exists in African, Eastern Mediterranean, Southeastern Asian, and Western Pacific regions, for which there's over 360,000 total COVID deaths were reported in 2020. Only 16 out of the 106 member states in these regions, have sufficient data to make empirical calculations. So only 16 out of 106 can make a determination of how many people die. So you guys don't think this is important? This is important. This is important. Okay. So without timely, reliable, and actionable data, we cannot accurately measure progress toward the health-related SDGs or WHO's triple billion target. Moreover, we cannot accurately measure the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic to better inform public policy and prepare the future health emergencies, according to WHO's World Health Statistics 2020 report. For almost one-fifth of the countries, over half of the SDGs indicators lack recent primary data. The availability of data also varies widely by income group and by indicator. So, you guys, it could be me. I will definitely say it might be me. I'm just going to calm down here for a second and just tell y'all, we told y'all at the beginning, okay, that these numbers can't be right. Who is telling you? This is from their page. This is not something I made up. Just go to World Health Organization data stories, a true death toll of COVID-19 estimates, global excess mortality is what it's called. Okay. Without timely, reliable, and actionable data, we cannot accurately assess that. According to WHO's World Health Statistics 2020 report, for almost one-fifth of the countries I already read that. WHO is actively engaging with member states to strengthen health information systems, particularly civil registration and vital statistics, okay? and improve data availability and quality. This includes the targeted interventions to address the weakest areas identified by SCORE, the Survey Count Optimized Review Enabled Global Report 2020, which shows, for example, that only 27% of countries have sustainable capacity to survey public health threats. You guys, do you understand what is being said here? Are y'all understanding what's being said here? That they don't even have the right numbers. Following the release of global and regional COVID-19 excess mortality estimates, the Technical Advisory Group will continue to refine the statistical models used in estimating excess mortality, who will actively engage member states to improve the availability and quality of data and work with the TAG, T-A-G, to produce country estimates. Once created, preliminary country estimates will be shared through the World Health Data Hub country portal for official consultation. Country consultation is a cornerstone of WHO's data principles and commitment to uphold member states' trust in data. The country portal will provide a secure environment for member states and WHO to exchange data and information across all three levels as part of the estimate verification and consultation process. Access to full COVID-19 excess mortality data set and methodology documentation will be available to download by the end of this year. Okay. So it's called excess methodology. Let's see. That was very interesting. Very interesting. And I got this information. Oh, we're down for 5 minutes. Okay. I got this information from the data stories, okay? Data collection tools that they use, reports. We talked about the mentality. I'm like, okay, I'm just like, really? We don't have, you guys, I'm just letting you know. This is what this says. It's on the World Health Organization website. I'm not making any of this up, okay? I'm just letting you know I'm not making none of this up. It's here, big as day. So what I say to you guys is, if those numbers were skewed on a global level, think about how they skewed on another whole level, okay? Just keep that in mind, okay? I'm just flabbergasted. I really am. I am totally flabbergasted. So I guess we got to come back and talk. If I just told you guys, we got to come back and talk about this book. We definitely got to come back and talk about this book. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. I want to thank you guys for hanging out. And I will be back. I promise you, I will be back because we come back this next time, we're definitely going to get deep into, I want to get some more. I want to go on CDC and talk about a little bit on CDC, but I definitely want to make sure we understand what's going on here. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and shut out the show 3 minutes, 4 minutes earlier. And you guys have a great night and keep in mind, stay safe, wear your mask. If you're vaccinated, okay. If you're not vaccinated, make your own decisions. I can't say unvaccinate yourself because you're vaccinated. You've made the decision. And people who are unvaccinated, be careful. Make the decision that's going to be right for you and your family, okay? That's all I'm going to say on that one. You guys have a great night. We love you here. And you can't clip my wings, straight to the point, no pause. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.